my treatment for this particular story, try to go close as we can be to a logical standpoint of view. But yeah, hopefully, well, the Indonesian people or audience kind of get it, but hopefully by US one also get my message through.
Today on the show, we are featuring a very special horror film making its way to North America. This is a prequel to what was the highest grossing film in Indonesia. It's part of the KKN universe. Titled over there, KKN 2, Di Desa Penari. There's another word in this title that I'm not going to butcher, but over here in North America, it is basically called Dancing Village, The Curse Begins, in theaters right now. And right now, you're going to hear me talk to the director and about some of the pressures and fun he had taking on this prequel and wanting to do justice to the original source of such a big blockbuster hit. On a technical standpoint, this movie also features one of the craziest shots I've seen in a long time. He tells us how it's made. And this was a really fun chat. Let's get into it. Boom. All right, we're here. I guess our meeting was too right? powerful. We broke the internet, you know? Yeah. But
awesome, yeah. Man.
Yeah, very, very nice to meet you, man. And I think what's cool about this film coming out this week too is reading that it's a prequel to the highest grossing Indonesian film. And I just kind of want to know how you became the guy to get this gig, and also, is there any like layers of pressure around that, just knowing like kind of the history to the other film in the franchise?
Yeah, definitely, man, because this is, you know, again, it is big, that movie. It breaks, I think it breaks at that time Avengers, I think.
Wow.
And I think it beats that. And also at that particular moment, I think some Marvel, I think, coming out and also beat that. And that's put the pressure on the second one. Like, you know, it sort of, you know, gave me some, okay, this is, we have to do this. If I want to do this, you know, I'm going to pitch some, you know, a scale that it has to be more than the first one. And well, thank God the producer actually, you know, agree on that, and we decided to do it on IMAX. That also something else. And I think by that and also we sort of enhance most of the story, because the story is quite different. This is kind of like a prequel or even a spin-off, actually, from the first one. And I think that makes a lot of difference. And, you know, to scale up towards IMAX, I think that's already a step up, I think, for the project. And we didn't plan to release in the US, but it happens, which is nice. Thankfully for that, man. So, I mean, I think it go more into the detail of something that the first one cannot go for it. So I think that's, you know, something, you know, elevates stuff.
Yeah, that's exciting too. And it's cool to get the eyes over here in North America as well. And speaking of another North American release of yours, I've seen many years ago in the theater was Killers, actually. And
oh really?
Yeah,
oh,
I man. Did. It was had like a little limited run in Toronto, and I went to see it because I was familiar with the actor from The Raid. I was a big fan, so yeah. I went, and yeah. I loved that film too. And I just kind of want to know, because like it is very like different, like it's stated in like reality, where this film is like very supernatural and has otherworldly stuff. And I just want to know for you personally, like from what I've seen of your work, is it a challenge to do all these supernatural effects, or are you having fun with doing something with ghosts and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's both, man. Both. Yeah. I mean, it's a big challenge, and it's also fun making it, because again, particularly genre horror is my thing. I love the genre, and I'm lucky enough to make this movie because it's a big challenge for me because some of my work used to have R-rated, ratings, and this one is a particular challenge that I have to make it PG-13. So I think for me it's a big learning curve to get more audience on the line and watch my film, and I think that's something that challenged me more when to get the story right and answer some of the question from the first one. And yes, it is very hard for me to make it interesting and still have a level of suspense that the horror fans gonna get. I think you're talking about a very different type of genre movie, killers, that I did with my friend before, with Timo. We sort of, at that age, we sort of want to experiment a lot with that particular genre, and we got, it's still learning curve until this day. And yes, I'm very enjoying making horror films because for the last two, three of my movies is a horror, and it's so different from Killers because Killers is so real, and this one involved a lot of supernatural. But the funny thing is, my treatment for this particular story try to go close as we can be to a logical standpoint of view. But yeah, hopefully, well, the Indonesian people or audience kind of get it, but hopefully by US one also get my message through, right?
And it's cool, even going back to what you said at the beginning of this interview, of almost like what people in different countries gravitate towards, like the first film of this, like Beat the Avengers. We're over here, like maybe we only a few people have heard of that film, which I think it's just very, very cool. And this is great that this is coming out here too. And also, like, kind of going back to you, like talking about like making like the supernatural stuff. This movie, Dancing Village, has one of the coolest shots I've seen in a very long time. And it was
Oh, cool.
that moment where she was like bathing in the pool and the one girl was singing and came behind her and then turned into another person behind her head. And you guys made it look like one shot. I don't know if it was one shot. I don't know if this is a lot of digital effects. Can you kind of like tell me like a little like fourth wall breaking of how you made that happen?
Yeah, we did that one shot, and
Wow.
we know from the very beginning we do have the release date already in our timeline, and we know that we can't do a lot of CGI works in this project, right? So in that particular shot is actually the Bandara Wuhi, the main entity. It's sort of very aligned with her. We have to very precise in hiding her. Well, there is of course a little bit of a little bit of a off, we can erase that in CGI, but we have to create that very minimal amount of CGI. So it's about the timing, it's about the stuff. So it's actually real one particular one shot. We don't have a cut on that, but we did a little bit of an erasing of the CGI there. But it's just not that's not a lot. And we only have, I think we only have, no, actually we did that two takes because
Whoa.
eventually the characters have to very hit behind them, and then they have to go out like submerge or going to the right. I think something like that. I forgot, but I think they went to the right because if we do it, more takes on that, they're gonna get wet, and we have to reset the scene quite a long time, and we don't have as you can see, that's an outdoor shoot, so we don't have a lot of time to do it, right? So yeah. Yes.
That's so cool. And you answered so many questions, because when I saw it, I was like, wow. And then my brain was like, how'd they do that? And like, even like to do that digitally with like the water too. I'm just like, it doesn't make sense.
But yeah.
That was extra impressive. Like that you had somebody hiding like that well and did it. That's super
actually, cool. Yeah, that's need a little bit of, you know, a little movement, because that again, you're right. The water is, we can't do that digitally, right?
Yeah. No, very, very impressive. Kudos on that. It's something different I haven't seen in the film.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, and just like, so you got to like work on this this franchise, this IP. Is there anyone or franchise or something you dreamed about, maybe something you watched growing up that you wish you could work on?
Ooh, shit. That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
If, big question. If a dream, you know, it's a dream. Again, I always say this, we don't have that particular genre of sci-fi in Indonesia, and I want to bring that in. You know, if I can have an alien story, you know, set up for our, you know, Indonesian character, I think it would be awesome. Like the third kind of the encounter of the third kind, you know, that type of film,
yeah,
or something to do, you know, anything to do with sci-fi. I think it's Star Wars will be awesome, man.
Oh, yeah.
If we can do something to do that with our culture, you know, blending in, I think that's will be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'd be awesome too, especially like I feel like you just have like a certain like unique take behind the lens that is like, it's really excellent too and different. So like, it would be cool like to see you take like one of these alien franchises and just put your own spin on it, like, you know, because I feel like it'll like it'll have like a lot of heart, but also be different as well, which is cool.
Awesome. Yeah hopefully, man, someday.
Yeah, and I guess like as a final question, because a lot of like different creatives like kind of gravitate to these segments and tell me they listen to them, if maybe an aspiring filmmaker was listening to you talk right now, and like would you have any like maybe like general advice or words for them if they're trying to like step into the industry?
I think you gotta be, one of it is something, if you got a project, you know, and you know, in the real world, there's nothing perfect, you know, there's nothing, if you're in the industry, you know, there is nothing perfect fits you. But, you know, from the project that you get or you want to create, at least have more than 50% you will be passionate about. Because below that, I think you will be trapped in the, something that you will regret it for the rest of your life. I think more than 50%, you have to be passionate about it. You know, because you will be working with other people, and also you will be, you know, collaborating with number of people. And if you don't like the more than 50%, then you will be, you know, you'll be trapped in misery, I think, to finish the film. So please, you know, if you want to take on the project, you have to certainly love it, you know, have a big, you know, love on the project and passionate about it.
Yeah, that's such great perspective. Thank you for sharing that with us. And as this movie gets released, I'll continue to share clips of our talk as well. And I'm excited to see what's next for you. Like, this was like a great film. And like at the beginning, I didn't know you were the same guy who made Killers until I clicked on the IMDb. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's awesome. But yeah, I really vibe with your energy. And even like you're wearing a shirt right now of my favorite movie, RoboCop. So yeah, you're the man. You're my new favorite. Yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and maybe we could talk around like your next project.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Boom. Once again, thanks to Kimo for joining us on the show. Like we mentioned, KKN2 is in theaters right now and in North America. It is called Dancing Village, The Curse Begins. Look for it if you want to see some supernatural shit. And just something different, you know? It's always fun to take in different cultures, expressions, and what they do to put a twist on some of the most familiar genres we have over here. It was really cool to pick Kimmo's brain with the short time we had with him. And I appreciate the time we spent. And speaking of people I appreciate, we can't go without thanking all you legends on the Patreon page. First up, the biggest thanks to Mike Carniello of the Testing with Mike YouTube channel. If you're into technology, electronics, how they work, and most importantly, how to fix them, check out Testing with Mike on YouTube. Another huge thanks to Amanda McKnight of Top 10 Nerd. Beyond being the host of Top 10 Nerd, talking to over a million subscribers, Amanda has her very own YouTube channel that you should check out if you're into comic books, video games, movies, and all things nerdy. Just type in Amanda McKnight on YouTube. Another big thanks to the wonderful Jenny Potter, the legend Devin McBride, back-to-back double impact Allens, the number one gent Alan Kent, and big wig Alan Briggs. Another huge thanks to our favorite soul singer, Saber, and last but not least, Francis Coffer, aka my mom. If you want to shout out at the end of every episode and also get these episodes early, raw, uncut, right when I'm done the Zoom call, I just post them. You can go to patreon.com/thecreativeimbalance. It's only $4 a month, and beyond having my thanks, you can just go to bed at night and sleep soundly, knowing you're a badass motherfucker who supports raw, uncut, independent media. And nobody can take that away from you. You hear me? With that being said, so many episodes around the corner. If you're listening to the audio versions on Spotify and Apple Music, give us a follow. If this is your first time checking out the YouTube channel, give us a subscribe. Honestly, any support like that helps going forward to do more of these and get more guests and great talks and whatnot. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Yeah!